So when I took Ontario Pork's leadership program, one of the big things was that there's not enough good media out there necessarily. So that's when I created our farm's Instagram page. It's We Raise Pigs with a period between the words. And so I've been just kind of putting kind of like Swanet Canada does, pictures of pigs and advocacy and the good stories and what we're actually doing on farm and for our environment and how sustainable we are. So like, again, these are all visual. With today's social media, everything's visual. So if you're not actually seeing these pictures and hearing from the actual farmers, then you don't really get that perspective.
The Swinet Podcast Show Canada is only possible with the support and trust of innovative companies like
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Mycotoxins were found in over 90% of feed sampled in 2025. Don't let mycotoxins impact your pig's health and performance. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/mycofix. Swine Veterinary Partners is comprised of four clinics across Canada that specialize in swine health, management, research, and development. Top Pigs Norsvin, the world's most innovative swine genetics company.
So welcome to the Swinet Canada podcast. I am Dan Columbus, and I'll be your host for today's episode. And with me today, I have Cassandra Van Engelen, who is a manager at Hogtied Farms in Ontario. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, just because some people might not be aware of who you are, I'll just ask that you introduce yourself and kind of let us know about your journey and what you're all into, because your list is quite long.
I didn't start in pigs. My dad's a first generation pig farmer. He decided to deviate from dairy. So he was the first one to get into pigs. But now currently my brother and I have now finished succession. So we are now 50-50 owners. So my dad, brother and I, we take care of about 375 sows, farrow to finish, all under one roof. We've been Luso housing for over 10 years. And we sell about 20% of our early weans straight off the sow to our cousin who's just a road over. It was not a straight and narrow path for me. I did work off the farm too, but I've always loved animals. I enjoyed my time in the barn. So I came back. It was a no-brainer for me. The barn was definitely where I needed to be, and I love every minute of it.
I think it's good to talk to somebody who, you know, did not start in pigs, kind of that first generation. One of the things that, you know, has come up is who's going to take over when the older generation retires and that. So I think this is a good one. And what you suggested as advocacy and that, I think, is then a good thing to discuss. And like I said, your list is long when it comes to advocacy. So I'm sure this will come up. You know, you are on Ontario Pork's leadership program, the research committee with Ontario Pork and you know, other different agricultural federations and stuff like that. So you're obviously involved quite a bit. So I guess, how did you get started on your journey to be that better advocate?
So I've been on the farm full time for about 9 years. And just, I guess, in the past few years, attending seminars and local associations, you meet people. And I just had I was surrounded by some great people that kind of mentored and nudged me to get more involved. I'm naturally pretty shy. And as farmers, I feel like we're just humble and keep to ourselves. So kind of that push to get out there and voice your opinions and get more involved was definitely a must for me. But yeah, I am currently a director for our local Federation of Ag, and I am a delegate for our local Pork Producer Association. And I do have a young family, so I'm kind of strapped for time to get involved. But once my kids have grown up, I do want to be out there more. But yeah, I am still pretty busy with what I am involved with now. And yeah, so one of the things that has definitely pushed me to be a better advocate is the Advanced Agricultural Leadership Program that I'm currently in right now. Great group of people that I'm in a class with, and they give you that nice little nudge in each direction to be better. And that's the whole point of advocacy, is to be better at it, I guess. You need to get out there more, put yourself out there and have those conversations with people. pig farmers of, we are 0.02% of Canada's population. So, and with urban sprawl and farmland retreating, there's a bigger gap between people and farmers. So you need to get out there and meet people and just talk to them. And most people have no idea what pig farming is. They have really simple questions that are really simple to answer. And you can't talk to the people that have agendas. Their minds are, there's no sway in them. You just kind of avoid them. Don't get involved. And it's just the ones who are just your everyday person, your everyday consumer, that just talking to them kind of helps them understand the pig industry. And if all they have is some activist telling them what we do versus us telling them our story and what we actually do, there's no other opinion but the one they're hearing, the louder one.
Yeah, it definitely, the louder voice wins a lot of the times. I guess maybe we should have started with this, but maybe what is advocacy to you? Is it just going out and talking to people, or you know, are there other aspects to it? And maybe then also kind of touching on, like, what is the end goal, if there is an end goal, or just like an overall objective? Maybe.
So when I took Ontario Pork's leadership program, one of the big things was that there's not enough good media out there necessarily. So that's when I created our farm's Instagram page. It's We Raise Pigs with a period between the words. And so I've been just kind of putting, kind of like Swine at Canada's, pictures of pigs and advocacy and the good stories and what we're actually doing on farm and for our environment and how sustainable we are. So again, these are all visual. With today's social media, everything's visual. So if you're not actually seeing these pictures and hearing from the actual farmers, then you don't really get that perspective.
To me, then the thing is to get the story out there, but maybe you have a different objective in mind other than, you know, just telling our side of the story from actual pig producers.
Well, it's also kind of, you have to get the next generation involved. Mm-hmm. There's definitely, because I was nudged, I'm going to be nudging others as well. I need to nudge them to kind of get themselves involved, because we need pig farmers to actually shape the future of our industry. Like, we need people to create policy and create awareness and advocate for ourselves as farmers. So all those, like, all of us, we need to step up. And because the older generation is aging out of pig farmers, there's always fewer and fewer of us every year. So if there's no one stepping up, then there's no one to advocate for the industry.
Yeah. So you mentioned getting the younger people involved. I guess then it obviously begs the question, what can producers do to get involved, or how do they even get started if they want to kind of get into advocacy more?
Definitely attending your local events, just your local association events. That's your first step in getting out there. You meet the other like-minded producers, you get a better picture of what's going on locally. And then from your local associations, you can get more involved provincially. So definitely locally is your stepping stone to getting more involved provincially. And from there, like, there's such a big, wider picture than I ever knew until I became more involved. So that is definitely step number one.
So, and then I guess, are there specific activities other than going out there and meeting that you can get involved with, or maybe even say specific activities that you would like to see, kind of get up from the ground or whatever and be involved in?
I haven't had time to think about all of that. I'm just trying to get my kind of boot into anything I can when I can. Being the farmer and the wife and the mother really takes a constraint on my time. So I can only do so much. But yeah, once my kids are older, I plan on getting more and more involved out there.
I gotta ask another, probably one of the more difficult questions in this, because you brought them up and talking to activists and stuff as an example. So how when you come up with people that would basically accuse you of being, well, for big pig, for lack of a better term, right? What is your kind of way of dealing with those people and talking to them?
So all you can do is just be kind. Like, they might not be kind, but you need to be kind because you're representing the industry. Definitely not just answering simple questions as honestly as you can. They're looking to trap you. They're going to see what they want to see. They're going to hear what they want to hear. So you just need to be mindful that you're not going to change this person's mind. Just be kind and honest. And then if you need to walk away, just walk away, because they have the agenda, not us. So
switching probably to the more positive side, you know, like, are you finding that the majority of people you talk to are genuinely curious about what happens and want to know?
Yes, I have not come across that absolutely crazy activism. I've mostly come across just curious people.
Yeah.
You're a pig farmer? Wow, I've never met a pig farmer before. What do you do with this? Or how big does a sow get? Like, they just have really generic, general questions that are just mind-blowing to them. So it's just answering those questions, having like kind of a fun conversation with them. And that really just changes that one perspective changed is them changing this other perspective for someone else who had the same question. So
I was going to ask, you know, are there common questions or maybe even misconceptions that kind of seem to come up more frequently? Like, you know, those things of like, how big is a sow? Like, what are the types of information that they're looking for?
I guess breeding them, like how quickly their cycle is one. How big they are at weaning. How big they sow actually gets, or how long a sow lives, or how they're housed, how they're kept, how long it takes them to grow, that those sort of questions are kind of the ones I'm commonly getting.
It's interesting, right? If we talk about that vocal minority, but that doesn't seem to be like, that's not what I would think that people are interested in. You think they'd be asking about castration and tail docking and all the other, you know, like crates and stuff like that.
Yeah, right? It's really simple. Well, people I've met anyway, it's very simple.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an N of one, but maybe you're having or meeting more of those type of people than the ones that really want to get into the nitty gritty. But, you know, it's a positive sign that there is just a genuine curiosity about what happens. And so I guess part of this too, and having these discussions, is knowing and understanding what your animals, like how you can better care for them, the reasons why you do things, even the way that they're done now, right? So, you know, I'm thinking when you come talk about loose sow housing or pens versus crates and stuff like that, and how would you approach those topics?
Well, like on our farm, it's real loose sow housing. So there is fighting. That's natural. They're animals. They're going to fight. Especially sows, they have their hierarchy. So they have to establish that. If they don't establish that, then you have chaos in the barn. So that's how we do our pre-mixing from day of weaning with our sows, because they're just weaned. They're full of milk. They're not comfortable. So the fighting is actually a lot less because they just kind of give up. So the hierarchy is established because they'll have their go at each other, and then it stops because one will walk away. And so there's your dominant one established, and that's done. The hierarchy is done. And then, so they're weaned into freedom access stall area that's completely open. And then they're locked in 5 days, or so the day before they come into heat, because we don't want sows jumping each other to cause lameness. And so they'll be locked in, bred, and then they'll be let back out a few days after being bred. And so they're back into their group, and there's no fighting after that. So that fighting happened the first day, done, bred, let loose again. Their group is established. They are then moved onto the electronic sow feeder dry sow barn, and they're put into their premix pen. And there is no fighting in the premix pen because they've already established their group together. The next morning, they are let out into the general population, and they generally, for the most part, stay together. Your older sows might move to like a sows they know from previous cycles. But your group that has been pre-mixed generally stays together because they've established a kind of group hierarchy within themselves, and they have protection within themselves. So it's just understanding the animals and their natural behaviors. Yes, there is fighting, but it's mitigated because you've allowed them to become a group, and now it's a group mentality within them.
I guess that helps too, probably, when you're having those discussions with people and how you treat or how you group them and how you take care of them, and right, and understanding that behavior.
Yes, definitely knowing your sows is key. Like moving sows, it's so like they're such a curious animal. They're so easy to move. You just have to move them at their own pace sometimes. You can't schedule animal movements. They schedule you.
So maybe, so before we get to our final three questions, I'll just ask, you know, if you have a take home message for the listeners today.
I guess that we are minority and we are such a small group. Just changing, having a simple conversation with one person that can hopefully change your perspective. But we just need to get more involved as pig farmers. We need to get our voices heard so that if a time comes that, I don't know, something happens, like we need to be a loud voice for the future of our industry.
I definitely agree.
It's time for our famous three.
Okay, so we have our last three questions before I let you go. Our first question is, what is your favorite swine-related resource?
So this is actually a book that I got recommended from a guest on your podcast. And it was Animals in Translation by Temple Grandin. That has been an amazing book. I recommend it to every pig farmer out there. Just her collection of knowledge, just gathering it all into one place. It's a phenomenal book.
Yeah, I read that one probably about 20 years ago. I should probably pull it off the shelf and dust it off again.
Yeah, it was a really good recommendation from your guest.
Good. So then our next question is, what is a favorite book or resource outside of pigs?
So my favorite book series is Wheel of Time. I finished reading it a number of years ago, but when I finished it, I got through a little withdrawal and I had to start it again.
There's a certain series that I've read through like four times now. It's just one of those ones where it's just, yeah. So I definitely get that. And then our last question is, you know, if you look at other leaders or even in your, you know, yourselves or other pork producers, you know, what is a characteristic that you think the successful leaders or producers all seem to share?
Listening. You have to be a good listener. We always have room for improvement, but if you're stuck in a certain way, you don't listen to what's around you, you're going to be stuck.
No, definitely. That one comes up a lot. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been great. Always like to hear from advocates or egg-vocates, depending on who you call. Hopefully we can convince some other producers and people in the industry to get out there and make their voices loud.
Yes, definitely. Need more loud voices.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent from Brazil without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.